This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, hello, hi, how are you?
Everybody? Hi.
Hi. Welcome to ENN on a rainy Friday night. Now, here's the question I have.
What's that?
Does it appear like it's past?
You know, it almost felt like the sun was about to come out. But
and now it's kind of dark again, right?
A little bit of a lull. It's at least I checked where I am, more towards Central Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to go until like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. But I think the real bulk of it, though, was supposed to be around 3, 4 in the afternoon. So I think we might be past the worst of it.
It says rain at 8 o'clock, 37%. So we'll see. We could be done with the worst of it. Who knows? I'd also like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Don. Texas A&M, which would be an easy one to quote.
How are you asking me a question where Texas A&M has an answer? It's true. And I can't believe you did that to me with the World Cup.
You got it right.
Well, I got it right thanks to RJ.
I was making your face dead.
Well, you don't have to do that. I'm getting calls now. This feels like this call I'm getting repeatedly is from my food delivery. However, I can't answer. I'm doing a radio
program. Oh, what
are you
getting? Tell us, because I need some ideas for dinner.
Well, tonight I'm getting Indian, but that is actually like my grocery delivery.
Okay.
I've really taken to the grocery delivery. I'm a little bit ripped off by it, but I'll tell you what. I have been a better cook and a more – I live 5 days a week eating just every meal from home, and I've done it all since I've been mostly just ordering groceries. So I'm not desperate to get back to grocery stores, I'll be honest. I know some people are enjoying them. They love the meandering in the grocery store. Not me. I'm good. I'm a pay-for-convenience guy, Don.
Oh, why not? You've earned it.
Thank you. All right, so I was saying earlier, we all said earlier, actually, that I had Le'Veon Bell on Hot 97 this morning. If you want to watch the full video, it'll be up in moments, if not already, on the Hot 97 YouTube channel. But obviously, I had to ask Le'Veon, was it frustrating not getting the touches last year?
It was definitely frustrating at the time, yes. Do I think that's going to happen again this year? I don't think that will happen again this year, just because of the simple fact. I think the last year, the reason why it happened is just because I don't think I was realized. Like, last year, I'm like, I literally put everything on me for real. Like, last year, it was like a lot of things about, like, say about Gase, like, oh, Gase not getting the ball, or the O-line not doing this, that, and the other. And I understand it. Like, it's like valuable excuses for even me to say, like, for myself to say, like, man, I could use that as an excuse, like, damn, Adam Gase ain't getting me the ball, or my O-line is good, you know, my receivers ain't as good, or whatever. I can use any excuse in the world. But I just took the time to look myself in the eyes and be like, damn, like, I could be better. Like, I wasn't my best me last year. Like, that wasn't the best me. Like, I know physically I wasn't the 2014, 2015 me. So if I can look at myself in the eyes and be like, damn, yeah, okay, the O-line, everybody talk about the O-line and everybody talk about me not getting the ball, whatever. But damn, Le'Veon, was you at your best? And I can literally look at myself in the eye and be like, nope, I wasn't.
I mean, I know, guys, I admit it. I'm willing to admit it to everyone here. I'm a Le'Veon fan, okay? I'll admit it. But, man, I'm sorry. That's not – if you're a Jets fan, that doesn't get you happy to hear that that's your reaction to last season. I think that's pretty great to hear.
Yeah, but he puts it on himself. And it makes a lot of sense, right? Because Bell never complained. And Gase never really gave that as an answer. Because he could have said, well, listen, Bell's just not – he's not ready. He's not ready to play. It was always – well, it just – he wasn't the game got away from us. We fell behind, so we weren't able to use him. So you can make the case that Gase was actually being a good guy and not throwing Bell under the bus for not being 100%. Because let's not forget, he missed an entire year.
That's true.
It probably was difficult to think that Bell could be Le'Veon Bell right out of the box, and then it got away from him. You know, and so maybe there isn't always – I think in talk shows, and I'm guilty of this, Peter, Michael, everybody, is to err on the side of, oh, they're hiding something, they're lying. what's wrong? Sometimes the answer is just, hey, he missed the year. He wasn't ready.
And then Gase we tried. It wasn't great. And then Gase got away from it.
Yeah, and so maybe Gase doesn't hate him.
Speaking of the being out for a season, I asked him if he regretted sitting out a season.
No, I really don't regret taking off the season. Just because I feel better, too. I think me not getting hit for a whole year, not running for a whole year. Well, not literally not running. I ran a little bit. But, like, just not practicing in and out, having game stuff, helped me so much, like, physically. You know, like, I remember, like, it'd be times where I used to be warming up and, like, my ankles would be, like, sore, or, like, my foot or, like, my knee. Why is it sore? You know what I'm saying? But it's like I don't even think about that anymore. Like, I don't even think about, like, when I get up and go to my workout, I don't even think about being sore. It's like, damn, all I got to do is get warmed up and go.
Hmm. My problem with that, Peter, is that's not the reason he did it. Right? He held out hoping that he was going to be able to parlay that into more money. It didn't work. Now, the positive byproduct of that happening is it was easier on his body and he was able to heal up, but that's not why he did it.
Well, but still, yes. But to the question, do you regret it? I guess he just decided to answer it in a way that's not about that money. Now, he argues, we went on to say, that he thinks because of potentially the taking care of himself that he can make, this is money he can make on the back end. Obviously, that remains to be seen.
That's going to be hard for a running back. I'd buy that in other positions. But, you know, it's going to be difficult as he starts to get older to be able, you see how they value running backs in this league.
It's crazy. Relative to when I was a kid, I asked him about his relationship with Adam Gase.
Like, okay, I never played for offensive-minded coach, right? So I talked to him more than any other coach I've ever talked to in my life. Mm. So I don't understand how, like, people get that relationship thing. It must have just been a rumor before I got there. But I'm saying since I got there, me and him don't, like, have no problems.
And lastly, this is a nice little piece for Jets fans to hear. I asked him about Sam Darnold.
I love Sam. You know, Sam just came down here with a couple of receivers to Miami. We got two good workouts in. You know, obviously talked and hung out and stuff, got some food. But Sam was a good dude. He's still a young player, so he still got a lot to learn. But I think the second year to this offense is really going to help him because this is his third year total in the NFL, right? And he already had two different coaches. You know what I'm saying? So rookie year, come in, different coach, and he come into his second year, he got to learn a whole new offense. And this offense is not easy to learn. I've been playing football for a long time. This is one of the hardest offenses I've ever had to play in. So for a quarterback to come out and learn it straight out of his rookie year and learn a new one, it was going to be tough. But I think coming into the second year in this offense is going to be even better for him because he have a better understanding. He can be more comfortable. He's going to kind of know where to go with the ball earlier. He'll be able to know where his check down is. He'll be more comfortable with changing the plays and audibling and hot routes and, you know, maybe calling screens or whatever. So I think this second year would be a lot better for him.
So there you have it. If you want to watch the entire thing, you can watch it on the Hot 97 YouTube channel, more with Le'Veon Bell. But in general, his spirits seem to be pretty good, Don.
I think this could be a better year for him. And you got to love, if you're a Jet fan, just hearing positivity about the quarterback. No issues with the coach. So,
yeah,
all stuff you can hang your hat on for sure.
Yeah, I mean, my problem with the Jets is, man, what worries me about the Jets is, well, several things. But, like, considering what their offense was last year, Don, did they make any investment at wide receiver?
No, you make the case that they've gotten worse, right, because of, you know, who they lost.
Robbie's gone.
Now, listen, Thomas can do some things, I guess, because that was like a throwaway deal that they made last year, and I guess he's part of the team this year, right, that they got from New England.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very slow, steady march to what they hope they're going to be able to accomplish.
It almost feels old school to march that slowly towards a Dom. Well, like, that's just not how people operate anymore. I mean,
but when you think about the Jets' most recent success, right, Braylon Edwards, Plexico Burress, Santonio Holmes, all players they were able to get when they thought they needed a wide receiver to get them over the hump, they could find it. And it not be very expensive. Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes, they got on a song. right? So maybe that's the philosophy of, listen, well, I could draft wide receivers, I can sign free agents, but you know what? When I think we're ready to turn the corner, I believe there'll be a crop we can choose from with a quarterback that's matured to make players better. Well, we can make that work. Is that possible? Could that be the game plan?
Maybe.
History shows you can find wide receivers.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's just, and maybe they thought last year was truly a throwaway. I mean, I just...
Well, it became that way, didn't it? You know, you
very
lose
quickly.
Your quarterback for 3 weeks, and then you lose your backup quarterback.
It got late early, as they say.
The only question, for some reason, and maybe I shouldn't feel this confident about him, I really like Joe Douglas. I think they've got a really good general manager. Now, ultimately, we'll have to wait and see, but I like him.
Gase, now, the Jets, by the way, did sign Breshad Perriman, and they drafted
Denzel. It was a one-year deal, so... I mean, that helps them this year, but is that a long-term answer? We'll see. But
and they drafted Denzel Mims.
Right. But,
so,
you know, it's a kid and a guy on a one-year deal. But that's a good player they got. That's a good call. And because he's got 1 year on his contract, right, that he's going to make sure he plays well to parlay it into big money down the road.
So Malcolm Jenkins of the New Orleans Saints responded to the DeSean Jackson anti-Semitism situation. Let's hear from the always outspoken Malcolm Jenkins.
We got to stay focused. All of this back and forth that's going on right now is a distraction. Comments were made, and they were wrong. Allow those who were impacted by it to voice their grievances. But we got to stay focused because Breonna Taylor's killers are still not arrested. We still fighting for justice. We got a lot of work to do, and this ain't it. Stay focused.
Well, am I wrong to say, Peter, that kind of comes across to me as my problem is bigger than yours? And
well, there's a little bit of that.
And it's – I don't want to get into that scoreboard watching stuff, right? Like, listen, we're focused on this here, so your issues are going to have to wait. And listen, I get that because that's what people on the Black Lives Matter community were told for so long. So I get the sentiment, but it's like, all right, well, listen, if you're a Jewish person that has a problem with that, I'm sorry, you're gonna have to wait because we're focused on this now. We can walk and chew gum at the same time, as Chris Long said. Right. Let's not push aside what he was said because we're distracting from the other issue. We can handle multiple issues. Maybe we can't, but we should try. Right? Or am I wrong to say that?
No.
I'm asking the question.
I think he did say more than that, although some of that didn't play well either. People misinterpreted some other things that he said too. I think he said that Jews and... He tried to say that there shouldn't be issues between Jews and black people, but it came across as like they should just stay out of each other's way. And so that was also taken wrong. I hear what you're saying. When I heard that, like, let people air their grievances. He didn't say apologize. He said, let people air their grievances and then get back to the issues that are affecting my people.
Right.
I understand the sentiment. I hear what you're saying, Don. I think that the way that was said was slightly dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand his point that right now you have a lot of people who are very, very focused on an important, important task and having sort of, quote unquote, for lack of a better word, infighting between Jewish people and black people is a really stupid thing.
No,
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I just want to make sure we don't just say, oh, well, they said some anti-Semitic stuff anyways. Don't get focused on that. I mean, you have to be fair and acknowledge that people have a right to air the grievances and then should expect that people should say their mea culpa on those grievances. But I do agree with him that it's not the thing, a fight between black people and Jewish people of who's the most aggrieved or... You know, who's the most oppressed? This is not the conversation for right now.
No, the
conversation is Black Lives Matter. That's what the focus is at this very moment, and that's what makes sense.
And maybe again, you're walking a fine line here, but maybe to your point, or maybe to his point too, is that, listen, yeah, it's an issue, but we're talking about somebody who died trying to get the people that killed this person to justice over somebody that made comments that were insensitive and saying, sorry, what you're going through is tough, but we've got people at large here. We lives have been lost. This is not feelings hurt. This is not people being disrespected. This is actual people being killed. So maybe you can understand where it's like, look, we focus on that. Not that you don't have an issue, but right now we've got people of color dying in the streets. We need to focus on this maybe a little bit more. Is it that?
I think that's what he's going for.
Right.
I would say it's important to note, though, anti-Semitism, hatred of Jews, whatever you want to call it, is not simply a topic to just talk about because someone says something bad. Hate crimes were committed more against Jewish people in New York than any other group over the last year.
We
talked about it. It's a real thing. So now, and that's a real problem, and is super. And also, it's important to remember. I mean, as I said on the show the other day, you're talking to me who's 40 years old. My mother was born in a displaced persons camp. The memory of Jews being taken from their families and killed is right there. So that's one of the things I think was sort of missing, and that I hope that the Deshaun Jacksons of the world can understand, and Steven Jackson as well. Anti-Semitism isn't something that's just like this loose idea people talk about. You're talking about trauma that existed 2 seconds ago. I see it right now in the way my mom is viewing the world. I can see in the way my mom views the world and the way hatred is,
sure,
and the things that are being said. I can see the way her brain, as someone who was born where she was into the family that she was born to, is inherently operating in a different place, a protective mode. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my mom went and made sure she had her and got her Polish citizenship, and now she's helping me get my Polish citizenship just to be able to have flexibility, because she is from a family that had to run before. So I just hope people understand it's very loaded. It's not as simple mentioning the word Hitler and people get upset. There's more to it.
Because you can look at it like how the way I described is, listen, it's a life and death situation. Yours isn't necessarily a life or death situation. But now, because when you start minimizing people's issues and you begin minimizing people, you can open the door where then the next step becomes what's happening now at Black Lives Matter. You don't want to get that, because you said, you know, it wasn't that long ago, just a couple of months ago, like every day on the news, there was some Hasidic Jew getting beat up on video in Brooklyn. You know, so we've got a lot of issues we got to deal with. And I guess as a country, we don't have the luxury to just focus on one. So we're going to have to find a way to juggle here. We're going to have to, because there's a lot of people that feel like they're being minimized, and a lot of subjects that feel like they're being minimized. To that point, Adam Schefter tweeted this out a couple of hours ago, that Eagles wide receiver Deshaun Jackson met with a group against anti-Semitism yesterday, and he's meeting with a 94-year-old Holocaust survivor today. He's trying to educate himself. So maybe when he does that, he'll realize the mistake that he made. So that's why you don't throw people away. You try to educate people, and we'll see if his opinion changes at all after those meetings.
And I think it will. And I think it certainly could, and hopefully it will. Let me say that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's move along, shall we, Don?
Yes, please.
Let's hear from Jeremy Fowler on what the NFL Players Union is looking for in terms of safety protocol to start a 2020 season.
Really, they've prioritized three objectives here. They want daily testing at training camp, which the league has not approved yet. They want no preseason games, which the league has not allowed yet. They want two games. And the players want an acclimation period of over a month so they can just get comfortable in that training camp environment and ramp up their conditioning. And so I'm told from a league source that they expect the two games to stand, but that there could be a concession on the way, whether it's the daily testing. But this has really been a negotiation each week to try to figure out that sweet spot. They're in that process of that now. They could figure out the preseason games here in the next day or two, I'm told.
Well, they got to clean up what's happening in baseball with waiting for tests, Peter, because if the NFL is cutting down the two preseason games because they're afraid that the conditioning is not going to be there because of the pandemic, how is the conditioning going to be when on Monday you get tested and you don't get the results till Wednesday or Thursday, and you can't practice till you get to the results, and you get the results on Thursday, and it's like, all right, go get ready for a game in a couple of days.
Right, and now you haven't played all week.
So if that's the logic, then how many guys are even going to be able to play? Or are we going to hear that none of the starters are playing because none of their tests came back? And then, God forbid, the guys that are playing are guys that tests didn't come back either, but they're so desperate to make the team that they're playing anyway.
Did you say test on? Test?
Yes.
There have been 3,748 tests conducted in Major League Baseball so far, and 1.8% of them have come back positive for COVID. That is 66 positive tests through testing on July 9th.
Now, those aren't just players, right? Those are also behind-the-scenes people,
58
too, right?
Were players, and the other 8 were staff.
Oh, it just shows you how much more players there are than staff, right?
Yep.
And here's the other thing. Are these all people that contracted the virus while home?
Did some of them get it when they got there, on their way there, to being with their teammates?
Right. So the idea, the hope is that now that these guys are back, like specific back to their homes, but some of those homes are hotbeds, but that they're careful, that they're just at the ballpark, that they're not getting it at the ballpark. They're not getting it from teammates. That they just happened to get it because they were just in the everyday world. And that'll be good news for the hubs, too, for baseball and for basketball and hockey, that once they get a negative person in the hub, they don't contract the virus again for the rest of the season.
Speaking of the hub, J.R. Smith has a team again. He's back with LeBron James.
There you go.
And with the Lakers, but in Orlando. And here's JR reading the food menu, the Disney food menu inside the hub in Orlando.
Okay. New York strip steak? Ooh. Braised beef short ribs? Damn. What else we got? Shrimp and grits? Oh, with me. I f*** with that cheesecake, though. They got that creme brulee.
Some people are having fun.
No,
you got to be happy for J.R. Smith.
Everything sounds great on the menu.
Delicious.
But let's see how it tastes when it actually happens. But I'm sure it's going to be
Don, fun. Excuse me. That's a Disney resort. It's going to taste tremendous.
Oh, I'm sure at the Disney resort, but this isn't exactly in the perfect situation. But no, I'm sure it's going to be all great. First class.
Kamaru Usman and Masvidal both made weight for the UFC 251 main event, the big welterweight showdown going down. The last hurdle to be cleared was the fighters making their weight at 170. Of course, you know, Masvidal just stepped in the other day, so he had to drop weight this week on 6 days' notice, but they both made it. So this is a title fight for Masvidal. Truly incredible. When you think about what his name was in 2017, before he started putting together these wins, beat Wonderboy Thompson at the Garden. I was at that fight. To where he is now, up against the best welterweight in the world, and Kamaru Usman should be tremendous. Of course, Thug Rose Namajunas trying to get a win back on Jessica Andrade, who knocked her off her pedestal a year ago. Don, on this day in sports history, let's go back to 1999.
The USA could win the World Cup on this next kick. Chastain will take it. She missed a penalty kick against China in the Algarve Cup, and they lost that game. Go!
There it is. Then the shirts came off, and history. The U.S. wins the Women's World Cup over China on sudden death penalty kicks.
Wow, 21 years ago, man.
Can you believe that? I know where I was. Hosting at Outback Steakhouse.
Hosting?
Yeah, I was watching from the host stand.
So you would seat people?
Yeah, that's right, Don.
What kind of steak was it? You seem like a bone-in guy.
Perfect. Yeah, I was a host.
Were you good at it?
No.
How are you bad at seeing?
I've told the story on the air before about the time I cried at work, didn't I?
No.
Oh, yeah, I got screamed at once.
Oh, no.
I well, you do the
like
best.
Office space? You didn't have
you do the best you can. All right?
That's what I'm saying.
And some days, I don't know if you know this. I mean, this Outback is now gone, which is sad because Outback's delicious. And, you know, some days it's packed at Outback in Bethesda. It would be a zoo.
I hate you.
You didn't have enough flair? What happened?
And you're giving out pagers, right? And you're telling people time. And there's a certain calculation you have based on the amount of people that are waiting and how full the restaurant
is. He just continually upsets everyone.
So I gave the estimate to a family. Maybe they waited a little bit longer than they expected. And I'm standing by the door as they'd yelled at me a couple times.
Don't threaten me, son. I'll send the world up there for you.
And when they decided to walk out, on their way out the door, every member of the family said something mean to me.
Put on your T-shirt and get the hell out of there.
And I think the wife dropped an F-bomb on me.
No.
In front of her kids. Yeah. And the reason I cried is because... you can't yell back at people. I'm a professional. I'm not going to fight with people at the Outback.
You're arrogant and ugly, and you can't understand anything.
So after I was screamed at and told to bleep myself, I simply said, excuse me, I'll be right back. And I walked to the back and just shed one solitary tear.
Oh. See, that makes me mad. Because I can't stand people that get mad at the wrong people. Like it's your fault.
Well, maybe, I guess if their estimate was off by 5 minutes, but you see it's packed. You know what you're signing up for at a crowded Outback. You get the pager.
Do you remember the time you get?
You know what? Ask me for some of the bread, as it's sometimes referred to as chocolate bread. It's not chocolate bread. It's pumpernickel. But ask me for some. I'll get you a loaf of the chocolate bread. Sit down. Have yourself a snack. Get yourself a blooming onion at the bar, and you wait. Mm. It's life, man.
You just don't yell at people that are just
trying to do their job. I was
19.
I was doing the best I could.
You're not cooking the food. It's not your fault that it's busy. And you're supposed to guesstimate. I mean, how are you supposed to know how long it's going to be for somebody to get finished eating, clear the table, sit them down? They just throw arbitrary numbers out. You know, and it's up to you whether you're going to want to stay. If somebody tells me it's going to be 45 minutes, I'm going to probably expect it to be an hour.
Now, Andrew Gundling texts with a great question, Don.
Yes.
Did anyone at Outback have your back? Well, I don't know that the other host that I was working with, I think I was with a hostess. I was one of only like two male hosts, I think. By the way, there was some upside to that job.
I can imagine.
Not to say that I really did a great job capitalizing on that, but it was enjoyable. I don't think anyone had my back and like chased after them. I told my manager and he was like, don't worry about it. Hey, relax, bud. Why are you crying in my office? And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go make some roll-ups and get back out there. You know, Don, at my fattest, there was a time when at my fattest, and I've told you this before, football games on Sunday when the Skins were playing, me and my fat friend Christian, we were both fat, would go by Outback. We would pick up an order of cheese fries. I know everyone loves the Bloomin' Onion. The Bloomin' Onion's gorgeous.
I think it's overrated.
The bacon cheese fries at Outback are one of the greatest items known to man. We would order the bacon cheese fries, get a side of ranch dressing. Then, Don, we would drive through the McDonald's and get 2-for-2 double cheeseburgers.
Oh, my God.
We'd eat double cheeseburgers and the Aussie cheese fries. Don, that's worse than your daily lunch you were having.
Wow. What, at the Colonial Grill?
Well, yeah, what was your everyday lunch again?
Three burgers with sauce, two fries with sauce, and a large Mellow Yellow.
You know what? I take it back. I actually don't know if it's worse. I actually don't know if it's worse.
Get me help.